There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Today we have a special guest with us. We have Gabe Rodarte. Hey, Gabe, how's it going?
What's up, y'all?
You got to do the, you got to go back
and
do the
radio voice.
Yeah, the radio voice, the DJ.
Oh, you got to get that radio voice coming in. Guys, I'm doing fantastic from Vertical House Buyers.
Well, welcome. We're excited that you're on here with us today inside the Wolf's Den. So just a little bit about Gabe. So Gabe is a residential and commercial real estate investor in Texas. He began his career at a very young age. At a mere 15 years old, he developed his leadership skills, managing a team of 27 working in a water park. In his early 20s, he founded Horizons Renovations, his very first company. Horizon was primarily a residential and commercial remodeling company. Gabe's roster of residential projects include the area of the Woodlands, Conroe, Montgomery, and all of the North Houston area. Through the North Houston Real Estate Investors Network Group, he facilitates the north side of Houston. Gabe thrives on sharing his deal-cutting knowledge, assisting others to grow their businesses, and continuing to support them as they achieve greater success. Over a career that spanned nearly two decades, Gabe has established his reputation for building strong and lasting relationships with his clients. Gabe recognizes the fact that real estate is rooted in great rapport, concrete relationships, and a far-reaching network. He continues to cultivate and add new relationships to his network to this day. So, Gabe, again, thanks for being with us today. And yeah, I mean, you are, like, when I think of you as the greatest connector. So, you're great at that. So I just want you to kind of go into more detail your story, you know, how you got started in real estate. Give us a little background on yourself.
Yeah, for real. So, you know, I was always an entrepreneurial mindset type of guy. I love sales. I love housing. I loved just being around people. And I knew it was a gift, right, to be around people and to have that, you know, being able to talk with people and listen to them and stuff. And so we had quite a few companies over the span of my career. I had an auto glass shop that we built. That wasn't when I was in Michigan. And what's crazy about that is we built the company with $14,000 in the bank. That's all we had.
Wow.
And we built it up to a $6 million company.
Ooh, wow.
Now, what I learned in that, I was a lot of the sales. I mean, I was probably 80% of the sales.
Mm.
Still young and stuff and trying to figure out what my life was all about. But I had no ownership of this thing. Okay. Mm. I helped this guy build it and it was great. And it's kind of a family business. And it wasn't until later on that I was like, you know what, this might not be the best idea. But the skills that I learned in there was basically interrelational management, how to deal with people, how to work in just business in general and business concept and acumen and stuff that I just learned from the owner. And so I just took a lot of that skill and then we moved it into construction and what we're doing in construction. And it was basically just a handyman type deal. I moved back down. I had no clue what was going on with my life still at this point. I just knew I liked to build relationships, do sales and make money. I mean, that's all I knew. And so we got into doing some stuff. My dad did some handyman type stuff and I was like, well, it makes some good money compared to what I was doing before. Cause I didn't know what I was doing down here. And then,
were you actually doing the work? Or
what's that?
Were you actually getting in there and actually,
man, I was doing all of it. Yeah.
Oh, really?
I was the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was me, you know,
I'm trying to picture you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With your tool belt.
I'm a small frame guy. And, that's one of the reasons why I got out of doing all that stuff was because I was like, this is not working. So
has Joni ever told you about like my horror experience? Sorry to totally I tried to play handyman in the beginning too when we were flipping houses in Albuquerque, and I was like, I can change a water heater, no problem, you know. And I tried to change it, and we turned on the water, and just went shooting everywhere. I was like, forget
it. Thing explodes. He comes back all drenched in water. I'm like, dude, this is not like, for you.
Yeah, sorry.
See, they didn't have YouTube back then. Now you can do DIYs and stuff, right?
yeah. That doesn't work very well out there. But go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah. Let's see what else. So we did that. So now things are growing, right? Things are happening, and I build up a team, and now I have more teams, and I'm connecting with realtors, and I'm connecting with other investors, and we start flipping, right? But we didn't know what the flipping was. Like, we were doing all the work. Like, we were doing the rehab, we're doing the other stuff, and someone might give us a cut of the deal. So it was more of a GC type of deal. It wasn't like I was the owner of these properties, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm over here flipping these properties and meeting with realtors, and realtors had investors that, oh, I got somebody who needs to get it ready for the market. And that's how I really got involved with working with investors and realtors. It was realtors had a client that needs to get it ready for the market because they lived in it. And they go, hey, do you do investment properties? Sure. So we go and do investment properties. Well, you guys know, because you're in the rental industry, when you start doing rental property investments, the kind that we got to, we're like, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in the rental property industry, right?
Right.
And so you're like, you know what? You're telling your guys, like, get out of the PP corner. That's where the dog went all day long. You know, that's where the client had all their dogs go in that corner. Get out of that corner. Come on, let's just. So after a while, I was like, you know, I really don't like this part. I don't like doing this thing. This isn't for us.
Yeah.
So here's the aha moment, guys. So I'm still young. We got married, maybe this like two years into our marriage. I'm here at the curb of this investment property I'm at. The guy, we've done maybe three or four houses for him. And as we're walking in this house, he's like picking stuff that I'm like, this is not right. You don't do this in rental houses. I've been through a lot of these things. And you just don't, the stuff he was doing was like outside the norm. I'm like, you know, this is a bad idea. You know, and so he's spending money all different ways, and we'd get done, and you know, the guys would come back and they go, hey, he wants us to do something else. And I'm like, whatever, just whatever he wants to pay for. Yeah. And I see him at the curb. Okay, now picture this. I'm at the curb, the house is behind me, I'm in the driveway area at the curb, and I'm like, how are you like doing this? And because he's getting off of work, right? And he's going to go see these properties, he's coming during his lunch hour and all this stuff, and I'm like, I am thinking this huge vision of this guy must be like so busy, a decamillionaire. He has all these properties going on. Mm. And so all the stuff that I'm thinking, and then he's just like, oh, I'm just part of a group, and we're just a network of people, and we buy some houses. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And again, I'm thinking some huge hedge fund, you know, the group means like the banking facility and then, you know, something crazy. And cause I have no idea how any of this works. I just know how houses work now. Mm-hmm. I know how things work mechanically, and it's not that complicated. And so anyway, so I go into this thing and I listen to this guy, and I come back and I'm like, Mary Lou, you know, this is like the rich dad, poor dad stuff. Like, this is what this guy's doing. And I was like, the thing is, this guy has no idea what the world he's even doing. Like, if he can make money,
I can do it.
I can do this. This was like my aha of like, if he could do it, I could do it moment. And so I started doing networking and started figuring out what, you know, the ins and outs and all that stuff. And then, I mean, we could dig in more there, but that's most of my story of me learning, like, anybody can really do this from anywhere. I mean, we really just had nothing, right? Just flat out nothing. And we just built from ground up. So that's it.
That's awesome. I mean, I don't think I've heard that story from you. So thanks for sharing that. And I mean, we all, I think all entrepreneurs, to be successful, we all know that, you know, you have to, it's about building relationships. And I know that it seems like it comes natural to you, Gabe, you know, networking and connecting. Have you always been that way, or did you have to work at that?
I've had to work my butt off at it. I had a chip on my shoulder whenever I was like, since young, I'm like, you know what? I just had a weird chip on my shoulder. That's like, you know what? I need to build more relationships. Mm-hmm. And so I noticed, and the other part is like, while we're doing these rehabs, got to keep in mind, we're also doing high-end residential flips and stuff, you know, stuff for owners in predominantly the Woodlands area. So we would do a full bathroom suite, like the master bathroom suite, for 120K, just those areas. And we could build a house, right? You know, Sean's like, wait a minute, what's going on? Right. So we could be doing stuff like that. And I started looking around and saying, how do these people act? What do they do? Not just what they do for a living, but, you know, one of my favorite books is Seven Habits of a Highly Effective Person and Think and Grow Rich. And all of these things talk about building relationships with people. So I had to figure out, I'm like, how do I do this? And I didn't have a lot of resources whenever I was younger. I didn't have relationships when I was younger. So I had to figure out how to do it. And then I started having kids and I go, wait a minute, this isn't just about me. If I could build great relationships, I can help my legacy build on and for them to have connections and people to meet and what to do and stuff. And I realized it was just bigger than me. Right. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. But what are you... You run a really successful REI group or real estate investing group, and I was really impressed, you know, at the one that Joni spoke at, and I'm glad you're back live again, and hopefully you can stay that way. Hopefully it doesn't shut back down or go the other direction. But you know, you do an awesome job. And so, what, you know, how did that start, the group? How did you have a vision for that? What made you get into starting a real estate investment group? And then kind of talk to us some of the benefits that have come out of running a group like that.
Totally. Yes. Yeah. So I'm not sure how Sean does it, but I am more of a, I think I relate to Joni a lot more of just putting a bunch of paint on the wall and see how it looks. Right. Like, I'm just like, you know what, let's just do this and see what happens. Right. There's no plan whatsoever.
That's
but
me.
I'm bored.
That's me in a nutshell.
So there was no tactics in the beginning of any of this. And actually someone else actually started the group, a good friend of mine, who was my first lender on a deal that I bought, my very first deal. And we're in North Houston, right? So we're in North Houston, all of Montgomery County. And Spring and Kingwood and other stuff is like people come from all over that side. And we're like, man, it takes forever to get into Houston and to get out. Houston's a big metroplex, right? Like, why don't we just do something here? So we had a community center that's close to us. It's free. I think it was like pennies compared to what we could have done. And we're like, well, let's go rent this place out. And it's really just five people in a room. And we just talked, right? And she kind of led it on. And then about 6 months into it, maybe 8 months, she's like, look, this is starting to become something. I don't want to do it. Like, this isn't for me. This is not what I want to do. And it started to become like an event, you know, like once a month we were doing it every single month, first or second Monday of every month. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, we knew each other from church and stuff. So very trustworthy person. And she's like, Gabe, you're the only one I can imagine like actually doing something with this. And I'm like, okay. So I was flat out nervous, and it wasn't something that I planned out. I was like, man, I'm really nervous. And I used a lot of my other skills. People talk about like speaking and stuff. And I used to be a youth pastor when we first came back, cause I lived in Texas, then I moved to Michigan and came back. And when I came back, I was like became this youth pastor and trying to figure out life, and then the handyman guy and this other stuff and cruise. And you know, when you could speak in front of like 50 kids and they're all quiet and they all didn't want to be there. And this is like before like phones were like really attractive right now. And like, like and none of that stuff is like, you know, the flip phones and stuff. So I just figured, you know, this is just like talking to a bunch of youth kids. You know, like people need information, and this is what we can do. So we started doing that. And then I would bring in speakers that would help us grow and then help them get, you know, in front of people like we did with Joni. And we just made sure that the content was really good. Right. And so that's really what my main thing was. I've been to a lot of groups that it's a lot more networking, or it's a lot more, it's just not as fulfilling for me. So I was like, well, what's something that I would want? And I just wanted to make sure that whenever someone left, they can put something into practice the very next day. And that was my main thing, was like, how do you put it into practice tomorrow? Because I needed someone to help me with that. So, yeah.
That's cool. That's exactly what I saw in the last event that you had, you know, is just that, like the value that you provided at that event. Because you're right, a lot of there's so many groups out there, and most of it is networking, get a beer, get a glass of wine, you know, meet some people. But there are not any that I know of other than you that's actually providing the value. So those investors can take away something from that event and go apply it.
Yeah. And the other thing, I think the big nugget there that we were talking with somebody earlier today, and he started a really big one in Birmingham, Alabama, and then he's now parlayed into other markets. But cool. Yeah, the reason he did it too is because you become the industry expert or the community expert or in your field, and you're looked upon as the expert, especially when you're up there, you're running it, you're bringing in these high caliber guests, you're the one that now all of a sudden, whether or not, and I know you are, you have the knowledge and everything to back it up, but I'm saying, like, people are looking at you and like, hey, this guy knows what he's doing in real estate investing. Mm-hmm. But you took it one step further, which I think a lot of people miss. So we're in a huge city and you were like, you know what, we don't have to be like some of these other groups. They try to be, let's do it for all of Houston, right? Including all the surrounding areas. You're like, no way.
I have a niche just in a certain area.
Yeah, I'm going to carve out this section and do it really well on the north side. And I think that
sets you apart for sure. So kudos to you for that.
I feel like a big pat on the back over here. I need to do this more often. Goodness gracious.
And then you're going to go home and your kids are not going to give you any credit. You're going to go all the way back down.
That's life, right?
Yeah. And so, I mean, let's talk about some of that as well, because I know I had a privilege to meet your wife and she's awesome, and your kids, they play soccer. Like, having that work-life balance, you know, tell us how you do that.
Man, we don't.
Is it chaotic?
If you're honest.
Yeah. The reality is I've tried that. That was actually the biggest hindrance for me doing more. Like, I was like, man, I really want to be this for my kids, and I want to be this for my wife and be this for the family, and I want to have these other things and have the business. And it actually, it limited me in some areas, because I'm like, okay, something might not be major priority, but something might come up for the kids or something. And I'm like, oh, well, I'll do that instead of going to the networking group that's in Houston or something. Uh-huh. You know, we're on the north side, there's plenty of groups. And I'm just like, after a while, I was like, you know what? Mary Lou and I, I was like, look, this is what I'm good at doing. And when we do this, we make good money. I mean, that's really all I really cared about at the time. I was like, when we do this, our needs are provided for, we're planning for the future, we have the funds to invest in more properties, we can buy more stuff. And yeah, that's it. You know, I'm not worried about, you know, us going like there. I mean, I'm being completely honest, because I think that people need to really hear this.
Yeah, sure.
I was at a group in inner city. When I say inner city, like literally in like the medical area or somewhere in there, uptown or something. Mm-hmm. And it was funny, guys. I mean, it was so cool to see this young couple there. And they just reminded me of us. They were like sheep. Right. And it's the first event they've ever been to. They had no idea. Like, they're just by themselves by this table. They had their little cups, and literally is like, they're just grabbing their cup and just holding it close. And I was like, well, you know what? Let me go talk to them. So they're right there. And they just asked me one question. And I was like, this is your first time? Yeah. What do you guys do? Yeah. And I was like, you've ever been to these before? No. And they go, hey, the wife, she goes, so is it worth it? And I go, man. And I chuckled. I go, yeah. And I'm like, how do I answer that, right? Like, I didn't have an answer of going, is it worth it? And I'm like, well, I don't know. Like, yeah, it's worth it. My kids get to do cool things. You know, my wife and I are doing really good, and she gets to do her own stuff. There was a time when she can travel. She would travel like 3 times on mission trips, because that was kind of like she was part of this organization that was helping these people. And like, you know, and I had to have the freedom to be able to do that, not only afford it, but have the freedom to watch the kids. Mm-hmm. The business is doing good and we're acquiring properties. Like, I can't tell someone all that within 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. So I'm just looking at them and I'm going, yeah, it's totally worth it. Like, it's totally worth it to do this.
Yeah, that's so great.
Yeah. Wow. So whenever I look at these networking groups and stuff, that's kind of what I see, is that I have those people is what I care about doing, because I think that's the backbone of America.
Yeah.
Right. It's just like pulling yourself up, figuring out what to do, and making something happen.
It's got to be rewarding, right? Giving back. And I mean, you were in their shoes at one time. So I think, you know, the totally. Whole, you know, it you pay it forward and it comes back to you in probably tenfold. So the, we're talking about Mary Lou. What's that like? How's that been working with your spouse over those years? I'm curious. I mean, we do it, but I want somebody else's perspective, you know. And
we look up to you guys, actually. So we jot everything down and say, what are they doing? Okay, write that down.
We are not perfect. And I'm just like, a minute ago, we were just kidding.
I'm like, get a Peloton. We need a Peloton. I don't know what we need. I don't know why they have it. I only see one person on it the whole time. I've never seen Sean on this thing, but you gotta get it.
I have more rides than her, just FYI.
Only because I was on your account for a while.
That's awesome. Yeah, you know, that was like the biggest journey for us. You know, so we read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. We signed up to an international thing. This is like probably now almost 11 years ago, 10 years ago. And we saw the threads of like how to get involved and stuff. We just didn't know how to put them together. So she was a teacher and there was the summertime type deal, right? Where you don't know if you're going to go back or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, listen, I think this was our second child was born. And I wasn't where I am now. So I didn't need somebody in the office all the time or anything like that. I didn't really have that much business that I couldn't handle on my own or just kind of sub out. So she went to go work for a Remax. So she worked at a Remax in the front desk. And it was so beautiful because she saw, and this is in, you know, the Woodlands Remax, the one that she went to was like number one in the nation as far as like the actual Remax.
Wow.
And so it was just kind of a blessing that she even got the job, you know, because we were applying for everywhere and we didn't know what she didn't know what she wanted to do. Guys, this was all, like when you look back, you're like, man, that was only 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And so she started seeing these checks come by for these, you know, multi-million dollar houses. And she started seeing these checks come by for like rents. She's like, man, you know, this person's paying $7,000 in rent. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's freaking crazy. It blows my mind. I couldn't even imagine it.
Yeah.
And so we start talking and she's like, good. So I start learning a different part of the industry because she's in there. And I don't know if people understand that or even see that, you know, if you're coming from, if we were doctors, I would totally go a different route, right? But that wasn't my route. So we had to run our race and this was ours. Like we have to figure out how to make the connections, how to build relationships, how to know the business. And this is what we can do. And so she went into there and started learning that side of the business and transactions. And then when she came on full time, she was just do all of our transactions and, you know, all the back end stuff that I don't like doing and QuickBooks and all that other jazz. And so it's kind of how we got going. And then in the meantime, I was, you know, still rehabbing. And then I would rehab other investor friends that I would meet at the networking events. And I'm like, hey, this is what I do. And then once I got, you know, the experience of knowing the difference of like the investment properties and like what to really do with them. Then it really, the thing that launched us really learning how to acquire funds and put funds to work, like put private money to work. Mm-hmm. And then that's when things started really changing for us. So we have that right now to go into like family and all the other stuff. We have to continually make a decision, guys, all the time of just, and I know you guys too. And I think it's a healthy thing.
Yeah.
You know, we have family meetings, mm-hmm. you know, we have family meetings over soccer. Mm-hmm. I love the sport of soccer, mm-hmm. right? I didn't know anything about soccer 3 years ago, right? But now I'm like, man, these kids, they're having fun. It's cool. I get to do this other stuff. Great. And so we'll have family meetings on the sport, family meetings on real estate, family meetings on just husband and wife of like, hey, you know, like this isn't working out.
Yeah. I think that's really cool. That's awesome. We actually, so there's one of our good friends, his name is, if you haven't read the book, is it 21 Summers?
That's something.
His name is Jim Shills though, but he wrote a book on, you really only have 21 summers with your kids. And you put that in perspective, and it's a family board. That's where it came from.
Family boardroom.
Family boardroom. So same kind of thing. You have your family meetings. I think that's huge that you do that because truly you only have so much time with your kids and, you know, making them a part of your journey is important.
the premise was, so cool. The premise of buying the book is that, you know, we have these quarterly corporate meetings or, you know, within our businesses that where we meet every quarter and talk about the business. Well, why aren't we doing that with our families? And so every quarter you meet with your family and you do an event. And the big thing is like, it's no technology. So you're putting away all the phones, all the distractions, and then you just really, it's about that time bonding and talking and communication with your kids.
I love it.
Yeah. So it's awesome.
I love it. Yeah. So that's where the old youth pastor came in, right? Like I wasn't great at it, but I saw how people raised their kids. Mm-hmm. I saw the ones that excelled, and I saw the ones that got crushed by little waves.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so I was like, okay, how to do that. A lot of it has to do with confidence and confidence, who you are and stuff right. like that. So we do a lot of that. And guys, I could go into this, like, because this is one of the things that I know I'm good at. Like, I'm good at real estate, but as far as raising guys that and kids and my daughter and stuff that really understand it. So it comes all the way down to two, three nights ago, we're having dinner. This had to be on a Sunday night. This had to be last Sunday. Mm-hmm. And my oldest, we're talking about soccer, obviously. Mm-hmm. And this is dinner time. And Avery goes and says, I'm going to have to figure out something to do because women's soccer players don't get paid a lot, but I really love doing this. And then the other one, the next one is like, okay, so we're going to have to figure out a way to make this happen, you know? And he's talking and we're both quiet. We're just looking at each other, just watching them go back and forth. And then towards the end, now it's getting heated, right? Cause they're like, well, you need to do this. Right? And we're just quiet. And he's like, Avery, you have to buy properties right now for you to have the money to move it. She's going, like, they're going after it. And we're cracking up. And then finally, like, okay, guys, calm down. I was like, I cannot tell you how excited I am inside that you're having these conversations.
That is super
about
cool.
The future of what your life is going to look like. And it's so powerful. But this is the stuff that I was talking about, though. And this is why we run the networking group. And this is why we do all these things, is because, you know, man, I was just with some people last night because of that networking group. And helping them restructure their business philosophy on real estate. I'm like, look, guys, and these guys are really, this is an amazing team. They have all types of businesses and they're getting into real estate. And I'm like, look, I think I can help you. So I go to their office. Okay. This is the relationship building side. I go to their office because they're becoming friends. And I know somewhere down the line we'll do something, but today I need a give. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, you guys have been working on this thing for like 9-10 months and nothing's happening. And I think you're bored. And they're like, man, we've been working on this for like 3 years. We just so busy. Like, we don't have time. So we go in and I sit with them and we come up with the plan. I whiteboard. I'm like, look, there's only two areas that you're really interested in. Why don't we just do those? Yeah. So we end up doing all this stuff. We get done and they go, okay, Gabe, listen, we have all this stuff. We could do these things. We're going to do this. We're going to build another business right now. We're going to do this other stuff here. And this is while I'm talking to them, they're about to build another business. And I'm like, man, how are you guys able to do this? And they're like, well, we have team and they're telling me stuff. And they go, what can we do to provide value for you, Gabe? Like, how do we provide you value? Because this right here saved us thousands of dollars and a lot of time. Like, wow. Now we know where we want to do. And I'm like, you know how powerful that is,
that
just
is
to
powerful.
Give to someone clarity of thought on whiteboarding your ideas at a very high level, you know, and you're just like, and they're looking at the whiteboard the whole time. It's a bunch of chicken scratch. Like, we, you know, the whiteboard moments where you're just like, everyone knows what that little symbol means, but we forgot what that meant. And it's just kind of like, they're all looking at it going, I totally see this. And I'm just going, this looks like, right, back in the beginning, like we're talking about, this looks like me throwing a bunch of paint on the wall and going, let's hope this works, right? But isn't that how all great ideas really happen, right?
Absolutely.
And so I'm just going, like, I love to be part of that thing with people. And I look at these kids back to Sunday night, they're doing this conversation. And I'm going, this is how all great stuff happens, right? We just have to provide the opportunity to let that happen. Mm-hmm. And that's why I do the networking event, because it provides an opportunity, right? For new people, experienced people. I get to know you guys. You guys are freaking amazing and all the cool stuff. You know, your guy, Kevin, he's just like so much help for me. And we're able to build. And then somehow we're able to give to each other later on down the line.
Absolutely.
And just the network, you don't realize until I think later in life, you see all these, you see what all those relationships and networks and just the connecting of dots that you don't see it when you're in it sometimes, but like later down the road, you're like that, you know, just because I went to this event, networked with this person, it totally, you know, changed my outlook.
So I know you guys, I know you guys from Steve. And I know Steve because he went to go do a small training at a title company when they were just getting going years ago. Yeah. And there was like seven people in the room. And I just happened to know the title officer or the relationship builder guy from my networking group when we were just getting started years and years ago. And it was small. And he goes, look, I can't afford to pay to be the title sponsor.
Yeah.
But, how can I help with value? And I'm like, you know, well, just like try to connect me with someone. Like, I don't know what I'm doing either. And he connects me with Steve. Steve goes to Kevin. Kevin goes to you guys. Yeah. And you're just like,
yeah, I know.
So it's weird. Small.
Yeah, it's awesome. The one I was going to ask you about that. Oh, I'm going to put you on the spot. What with your children? Tell me how you create confidence in them. You had mentioned that you really try to, you know, help them be more confident kids, more, and they're doing really well in soccer and sports. So how do you, is there techniques? What do you try to do? You know,
So what I figured out, and this is just for me, you know, I didn't figure it out. Somebody else did, but I just, somehow it's a compiled of all the things that I've been learning and shoved it into my brain. So I'll quote somebody at some point. really it's just the fact of, and I don't know, maybe this came from back when we were doing a lot of like young adult stuff where there was always like a repetitive phrase all the time. Right. And then I realized that, you know, adults do the same thing. High earners and very people that are on the cutting edge and stuff. If you ever listen to them and talk to them, they always have catchphrases. My first mentor, right, was this like the number two dentist in all of Houston when I was 18 years old. And I met him. You guys probably like, because you're like all healthy people and stuff like that. I met him at a triathlon that Mary Lou was doing like 18 years later. I go, hey, is that, you know, Dave? He's like, Gabe, remember me like that. Yeah. And we start talking and I go all the way back. My memory goes all the way back to being in his living room where he's willing to take me on. All right. You talked about Amway the other night. That was the Amway that I was part of.
Oh,
this
really?
Group.
It
was so wild. So anyways, I'm part of this group and he was involved in that back then and he's not anymore. But so we're just talking. I go all the way back to then and I remember his catchphrases that he had way back then. And guess what? He's still using them today.
Wow.
And I'm just going, okay. And I watch and I'm like, I need to make sure that there's a foundation for my family that we rely on things that we can go back to. Right. And so you would hear people that are like successful. You ever hear people's success story and they just had a crazy parent. Right. And they're like, my parent was crazy. And this was, you know, and you're like, whoa, you know, like my parents weren't that crazy. And I'm like, how do I conjure up this drive and this confidence within kids without having a survival mentality, right? Yeah. Because that's kind of what you hear.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I don't want that in my house because like I'm already survival mentality, right? Like that's, I don't want like five people in my house doing this.
Yeah.
So what we did was we just figured out how to have catchphrases. So everything has a place is a real phrase. Like if I say, hey, everything has a place, cool. I'll bring up something from Stephen Covey and I'm like, hey, how many times have things been created? And now that they know, and they'll go and say, well, two times, one time in your head and then one time in the actual when you see it in the end. Mm. And that's a Stephen Covey phrase. Mm. And so I'll say stuff like that. I'll say we have things like, hey, who's a champion? Like I'm a champion. We'll say things like go vertical. Hey, guys, what go vertical mean to you? That's why we say go vertical. And so go verticals. And so it's a very broad term. But it could go using sports and your faith and your business. And like, really, when you get up, you're like, come on, let's go vertical. Let's get out of the house, guys. Like, did someone like today, this is an example, guys. And those who are listening, perfect example of this isn't every day. Okay. So we are spending now, people have to get outside the door. We are now, or Mary Lou and the kids, they're probably, I don't know, 25 minutes late. Nobody can find the keys. Nobody to the van. So now she's going to grab the spare key, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, we're in between houses, we're waiting for a new house to be done. And we're like, okay, where's the spare key? Right? Because we don't know where the freaking spare key is. We get the spare key, it's out of batteries. Great. So we're like, okay, for the batteries, we gotta get to school, right? We get all done. They're about to leave. They look over at the mailbox and the keys are stuck in the mailbox.
Oh wow.
And I'm like, oh my gosh. And so we're like, okay, whose role was that? And one of the kids went to go check the mail, got excited because something was in the mail, and ran off and forgot the keys. And so the whole point though is like, how much energy and, you know, endorphins and everything goes on to things not being in their proper place, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And that's what happens, right? And so those things, what happens. And so what's really cool is that you can build upon those things. And that's how you infuse confidence, is just continually knowing you can do it. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And always owning it. So over the summer, we have a couple of trails over here, anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes is I'm on the trail, 7 a.m., 7:15. I'm on the trail somewhere. Well, over the summer, we need to work on our footwork. I was like, hey, whoever wants to get up with me, you guys can grab a ball and you can run with me in the morning, mm-hmm. you know, and they're running and I'm like, you know, light. It's a brisk walk. I might have a coffee cup in my hand. I might not. It all depends. The point is I'm outside. Okay, yeah. Guys. So, So anyways, they're learning this stuff. Season starts, guys. And they come back. This is like last week, just last Monday. And their practice starts and they all come home and they go, Dad, those morning walks have totally paid off.
Yeah. Nice.
And I'm like, really? And like, I'm getting all pumped up and they're just going, I can tell the difference. The coaches are going, what have you been working on over the summer? You know, and they can see all this stuff. And now because they have the memory, right? Just same things we do with making cold calls, same things we do with door knocking. Like you said, like now that you have the memory, you're consistent.
Right.
And now they can build off of the consistency and going, I know I can do that. You know, and sometimes we just don't give those stories enough credit.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever it's now a bad day, like yesterday might have been a bad practice day. I don't know. I was out and about, but I heard it might not have been the best day. I'm like, hey, listen, you're still the same kid who did this. You're still the same kid that did that.
Yeah.
You're still the same one that got up when you didn't want to, or, you know, did these other things. And that, you know, we all need that. So why wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm. That is so awesome. I mean, it's so true. I mean, I'm taking notes here.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the same principles that you use in business to be successful, you can use the same principles with your kids to make them more confident and successful. So right. That's awesome.
I'm glad you went there because I think that's probably I think that's the greatest value so far of this podcast.
Yeah, that's a great takeaway there. Awesome.
So good. No, it was awesome. Thank you.
I love how Sean's enthusiasm and the face of, like, so Joni knows it. I don't. Sean has to tell me he's excited.
Yeah.
That is so true. Like, you know his. You
like,
know
Gabe,
people
really
though.
Excited right now. Yeah.
Gabe, you're like the greatest connector, and you know people, so I don't need to tell you that.
Yeah.
I'm like,
Sean's like clapping
so
in the background.
Yeah.
Because he's excited.
I'm like this all the time.
Yeah. So. Yeah. We all need a Sean in our life.
He definitely keeps me balanced. I would be a rocket.
But no, just a couple more questions and we'll wrap it up. But I wanted to know, because you speak with a lot of people, you network with a lot of people. Say somebody's just wanting to get started. They're just showing up at your REI group for the first time, investigating it. The wife's skeptical. What advice would you give them?
Don't buy anything right now. You know,
yeah.
Seriously, do not buy anything. Buy some books, you know, watch some YouTube videos, right? And just start looking around. And then there, you have some skill sets that you naturally come with. I call it the gold I see in you. So there's gold that we have. If you're a mm-hmm. school teacher or you're a plumber or if you're a doctor, you have a skill set. We all do that. We're bringing. I met an 18-year-old that's crushing it last week at this thing. He's like just crushing it. I'm like, dude, and he's just like his gold is just flat out like ignorance. Okay. Like, he has no idea what he's going against right now. And he's just like, I'm just making stuff happen. And I'm like, dude, that's, use it. Keep going.
Yeah.
So take into account of what you have or what you've done, like your life experience. Okay. And just, and then the next thing is shop around, like look and see, okay, what strategy do I like? Which one makes me excited to go do? Right. Like the guys I was with last night, they weren't excited over the one they thought they would be excited over, and they're beating their heads. And I'm like, why don't we just shelf that one? Let's look at this one. And they go, oh, that one I'm excited over, but it's way over there and I can't reach it. And I'm like, but you're excited. And that's going to give you the momentum.
Yeah.
Right. And that's going to get, so that's what I'd say, stuff like that. But yeah. And then, just keep on networking, you know, keep on meeting people, because this is all about people. Right. And, I would definitely say those things. So take into account where you are, right? The gold you see in you, write it out. Like, it's really important. And then how does that translate into the real estate world? Well, you don't really know that in the beginning until you start connecting with other people, right? And you go, oh, I can see how this really works.
Right.
Right. So you're building those relationships and then start looking at the strategies, right? Of the different ways, commercial or single family, rentals, turnkey, stuff like that. Like, you could really start niching down after a while, but you know, that should only take your, I mean, you're, that's like literally two weeks to a month, and you should be able to run forward. You know, it's not a long time.
Awesome. That's great advice. Yeah. So for our listeners listening, if you're in the Houston area, go find Gabe. How can our listeners find you?
Yeah. So if you're on Facebook, just look up Gabe Rodarte. We're at North Houston Real Estate Investors Group. So North Houston REI Group. Those are the two key areas that we're always on. And we do a lot of Facebook stuff. So that's really our key thing that you could find us on. And just message me. We're always on there. People send us deals, send us properties, send us all types of stuff. So I'm easy to get a hold of.
Cool.
Sweet.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Gabe, for joining us inside the Wolf's Den today. And any last words, Sean?
No, no. If there's anything we can ever do for you, please let us know. But we appreciate you you coming on. And yeah, I'm going to use some of your phrases, I think, with our kids. And I love it.
And I'm going to send him out today to go work with some footwork with our daughter.
Yeah. So,
right. All right, guys. Well, I appreciate it, man. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Take care, Gabe. Right, thanks. Bye.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkle. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.